Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Okay, let's take a few moments. We'll talk with Eric Fisher about his book, of course, The Art of Managing Everyday Conflict. Just what does he mean by all that? And yes, we will take your phone calls, your past life regressions, and your questions for our guest, Dr. Eric Fisher, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Eric, let's take two calls, people who've been waiting since last hour. They've been on for quite a bit, and then we'll talk about the book, of course, The Art of Managing Everyday Conflict. Then we'll go back to phone calls. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi there. I believe you're talking to me. My name is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. I must say, your voice strikes a very familiar chord to me. So perhaps we've had some kind of a past life together. I don't know.
You never know with me.
Congrats to your son, anyway.
Thank you.
On his graduation. I've had a few regression situations. Once I was regressed professionally to find out some questions for problems I was having in this life. And then after that, I came in contact with someone who had shared my metaphysical beliefs. And over the phone, we both just spontaneously regressed one evening. We brought up a subject, and both of us all of a sudden went into some sort of a state. I started crying and apologizing to him. It turned out I had been very, very horrible and mean to him in a past life. And we also had another spontaneous regression once I got together with this wonderful gentleman in person when we were both visiting Hearst Castle in California. So I firmly, firmly believe in past lives, absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm.
So, Eric, how could she pick up a past life with a voice, like she said with me? How does that happen?
Well, I think there's a resonance, you know. There's a familiar that's not, it might not necessarily be the voice, but the voice opens up the connection for then that resonant energy that we have. It's kind of like if somebody
harmonics.
Has a favorite color that reminds them of something. You know, we often do that with people, that people who have reacted to traumatic experiences or happy experiences, they can smell an apple pie and it takes them back to being 4 years old and their grandma cooking that pie. So I would say that you have to look at that resonant energy.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for discussing
Jackie.
This.
Appreciate you being on the program. And let's go to one more, then we'll chat about the book and then back to calls. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
This is Jake rolling across the great state of Texas here.
Keep rolling, Jake. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you were talking earlier about how the soul could possibly split or something like that and have two different experiences at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of got me to thinking, my wife and I, we are probably about as opposite as you can possibly get. Yet, we just go together so well, we can tell what each one's thinking. And I just wanted to have me, because some people say we're soulmates, or is that possible that we could be the, two halves of the same soul?
I think anything's possible. Again, with get the difficult time in that is proving it. I would look at what are the gifts and opportunities that your wife brings you, and what are the gifts and opportunities you bring her, that a lot of times the opposites come into our life to help us find balance and to help us to explore things that we wouldn't have had the opportunity to see. And especially when I do counseling with couples, I'm helping them to see that you're with exactly who you need to be with to learn what you need to learn. And that's why I believe 95% of marriages are workable, if not more than that. We just have to see the gifts that that person's offering us.
Oh. So, I don't know. That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Drive carefully. Appreciate it. The Art of Managing Everyday Conflict. What did you mean when you decided to write that book and come up with that title?
Well, I had the irony of that is the title is actually From Victim to Victor, Finding Your Power in a Disempowering World. However, when you get into the art of working with publishing companies, they had the twist of wanting to focus it towards conflict, which issues of victim and victimization and things definitely lend themselves to conflict. But I really wanted people to look at the idea of power and how power plays into emotions. And if we go back again to our model of creator and that there's a purpose to everything, a lot of people in our culture want to take their emotions and throw them away and get rid of them. And I look at that, the idea again, that every emotion has a purpose and we have to understand the purpose of those emotions. And we often become dependent on other people to determine our power. So if we can then take our emotions and see the value of them and what we can learn from them and realize that our own perception of power comes from ourselves, no matter what, not other people, then we can really avoid and understand conflicts.
Now, what do you mean exactly, though, about power? What does that mean? I mean, we're talking about someone who's politically strong or financially strong. What does the power mean?
Well, there are many, many different kinds of power. You know, you mentioned a few of them. You know, there's political, there's status power, there's financial power, there's intellectual power. I look at that power is a way that we determine how we fit in with other people, you know, in terms of whether it's hierarchy or my other model of power I talk about is equity, where we're all equal in power, in strength, in true potential. I would call power is potential of our being, of ourself. And in that level, when we start to understand how we view our own power, what happens is people want to move to these higher levels of status, and I'll address it in terms of spiritual growth. Because I have so many people who want to come to me for spiritual growth, they often want to see themselves as further up that ladder than they really are. Because they say, well, if I'm further up at this ladder, then I've got higher status, I've got more power, but we can't move up that ladder of growth until we go back and find where we're stuck and why we're stuck. So I'm often helping them to realize that, gee, my real true perceived power is much less than I actually want to see myself to be.
How long did it take you to write this book, Eric?
Well, the first go around took me about a year and a half, and it was like I said, kind of a journey within myself and a journey with my clients, and then it was about two rewrites later and about 5 years later before it was finally published.
How important is energy in this kind of a situation?
Energy is extremely important because we have to look at all these things that we don't see and feel and experience that often contribute to our conflicts. And the examples I gave is when people walk into a room, they might not see anybody with any frown. Excuse me, any frown. There's no yelling. There's no conflict going on, mm-hmm. But they feel the emotion. They feel tension. It's tension you can cut with a knife. That's energy, and that often will lead to more conflicts than what's said. It's the energy is set, the conflict is set, and no words have been exchanged.
What is it about people in terms of trying to create a happiness for themselves? Some people strive for things, they get it, they're not happy. Some people have so much money, they have more money than God, they're not happy. What is it about people, the humankind, Eric, that just some are happy, some are not?
Well, there's a couple of things. I read a book called Self-Realization. It was called Atma Siddhi. It was a Hindu book that talked about the whole idea of self-realization. And it said, people who are in a search for happiness will never find it because they're always in a state of being without. To be happy is to exist in that state, not to seek it out. The other issue is that happiness is one emotion of thousands of different emotions, probably. I have a list of 260 emotions that I give to people in my office and that are actually in the book that I have people go through. And we all want to achieve this happiness, but it's only a feeling. And the more that we're at peace and understanding with our other emotions, the easier it is to find happiness. But if all they ever want to do is look for happiness and hide all my other feelings, it's always going to be out of balance. And that's where energy is about balance. Emotions are about balance. Life is about balance. And that's what we have to understand, that all emotions are going to exist in a balance. And it can be a peaceful, happy balance that we can find.
No, you are right, Eric, though. It is all about balance because, you know, and you got to be able to juggle this. If not, you're going to create a disaster, aren't you?
Exactly, exactly. And like I say, whether people are looking at this time or other times for where they're stuck, often what I find is that it's not that they're stuck in the memory is the link to the emotion. And then that emotion becomes the link to badness and wrongness and weakness, you know, that we want to hide or we feel unloved or abandoned or rejected. That's what we get stuck in, and that's what we need to help to release. And when we do that, then automatically there's a feeling of peace and happiness and contentment. And like I've said, I've had people have had tumors, disappear or decrease. I've had warts fall off. I've had relationships change drastically just after some of these sessions. And I don't promise that for everybody at all. It's just that person's side effect or benefit from doing that work is that things change in their life.
You have to change that. That energy changes, that attitude changes, all kinds of things change.
Exactly.
I've seen it happen time and time again. Okay, let's go to the phones now. Let's pick it up by going to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
My name's Mary. I'm from South Dakota.
Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, Eric. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions. I'd like to just tell you a quick past life that I had. And I remember many of mine. But one of them had to do with my stepfather from the life I'm living now. And it was back in the 40s. And he was actually my boyfriend. And he ended up killing me by smothering me with a pillow.
My.
And one of the really weird things is I remember what happened after I died, and I actually went to hell. And in this lifetime, my stepfather would put pillows over my face and torment me.
He would do that for real.
What's that?
He would do that for real?
For real. And in my past life, he'd killed me with a pillow.
Oh, my God. All right. How do you explain this one, Eric?
Well, I think, again, we come back with some of the merest impressions of times before, and that's where sometimes we meet somebody and we just have an automatic feeling of avoidance or an automatic feeling of like, you know, and I would say what you have to look at is that y'all might have come back in that situation to resolve something, and sometimes what I'm helping people to resolve is they don't need to come back with that person again. That you might have to question whether or not you felt you needed to travel with that being to help resolve or to get them to finally love you or accept you or like you. And sometimes I'm helping people to see that you can resolve this and let it go and not be attached to that person energetically, emotionally, or whatever, so that you can end that pattern. He doesn't have to end it, or you don't necessarily have to resolve it together. So look deep inside and ask yourself, am I trying to please this person for some reason, and do I have to please that person? You know, and that's a question I want you to ask yourself.
Okay. Super.
Hey, Mary, you know, the putting the pillows over you now, I mean, what made him do that? Was he joking around, or was he serious?
Well, he just got a thrill out of it. I don't talk to him anymore, but
I don't blame you.
Well, and that's a power thing, too. You know, he felt the need to create a feeling of power over you, which probably resonated with the feeling of power he needed, you know, long ago, if that was the situation.
Thanks for the call. First-time caller line, welcome to Coast You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
My name's Lisa. I have listened a few times, but I've just finally got the courage to call.
Well, good for you, Lisa. I'm glad you made it in.
I have a question. I have always had a very strong feeling, deja vu, constantly. I have a very aware of everything that way, and I had a grandmother that I was very, very connected with that way. Although we were over 100 miles apart, I would know when she was going to call me. We'd pick up the phone at the same time, and sometimes it didn't even ring. And my question is, what is the difference between, I always feel like when I look in the mirror that there's somebody in there trying to, I feel like I have lived before, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I have always had a very, I feel a need to take care of everybody. I've always had a very strong connection to animals. I am a nurse. I've had very many psychic, I guess you would call it, experiences with my patients where I feel like I'm somebody else taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And how would that differ than like a multiple personality possibly, or I just don't understand. It's just a strange feeling that I have lived before. I feel like possibly I was in a war, in a situation in a war at some point, or even in the covered wagon days type person. I've always had that feeling. Do you have any comments on that?
Sure. Yeah. First, I feel honored that you chose to call on tonight, so I appreciate that. And I think that there's definitely sometimes a situation where somebody is going to feel that connection to something else, whether or not it's just tapping into some other aspect of you at this time of wanting to help people and feeling that wanted help, or whether or not it may be connected other times that you've done that and just feel that connection to helping people. So, it again, it is very common where people feel a slight overlap or a slight affinity to things that they feel they've done before. And I think part of that then is to maybe take some time to try to just either do some automatic drawing where you can kind of sit down with a piece of paper, see what comes to mind, or even automatic writing where you sit down and just let your hand start to write. And what you do is you write down the question that you'd like to ponder, like, you know, where might it have been, or what are the reasons that I'm having this feeling is what I want you to look, you might want to ask. And then write that down beforehand and then try to get into a relaxed state and just see what comes. And if nothing comes for a while, don't worry about it. Don't feel like you failed. Just know that maybe it's something you need to look at a little more with somebody who might be able to help you with that work. Mm-hmm. Because it might be that you're trying to fulfill some need or resolve something from some past possible perceived failure that you need to resolve at this time. And that might be why you're drawn to these experiences.
I did have an episode where I did go to a therapist, and he did regress me back to my childhood, and all I did was scream.
And did you know why?
And cry.
Did he help you understand?
It was a guilt. I had a horrible feeling of guilt when I came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that I was supposed to take care of somebody, and I didn't do it, and they died.
Did he help you resolve that guilt?
No, he left me hanging.
Okay, see, and that's exactly one of the experiences where somebody doesn't know what they're doing. You feel kind of re-traumatized. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, we lost her right at the end.
Look at you like
this is.
Bug, you know? Mm-hmm. I've had a real difficult time trying to find somebody that would even listen to me that way. But he did, through hypnosis, regress me back to the point, and it was horrific.
Well, and that's where if people are looking to do this work, always ask the person, if I get to some experience that I don't understand or that it feels painful, how are you going to help me through it? What is your theory on helping resolve that? And if they don't have a good answer, don't work with them. You know, make sure you find somebody who feels confident and competent in what they're doing and has a model of resolution and healing that you feel makes sense to you.
What is science doing with this past life regression? Anything? Are they touching it?
Well, I think there are a lot of situations, and there's some books out there where people are starting to confirm these experiences. And they're starting to document those things, you know, and that's where, again, I let the people who are doing the science on it, research on it, go ahead and do that. But me personally, again, like I said, I want to respect that. But I think that we are getting better at documenting it. There was actually an article in the May 30th issue of Time that talked about science on the fringe. And they had, I think it's on, in the magazine, but it talks about a group of scientists that are actually really documenting a lot of these events and experiences. It's called the Global Consciousness Project. They're working on randomization of the random number issues and how they've been affected by emotions and things like that to try to really draw all these theories together into one solid theory.
You know, I used to think that maybe past life regressions might have been just simply the power of suggestion, but the fact that they've been able to talk in different tongue and do different things, it's too weird, Eric.
It's
strange.
And yeah, you're exactly, and that's exactly why I never do a prompted regression. I always ask that person to let their subconscious take them to whatever time, place, memory, emotion, experience, because I don't want them to think that I've suggested anything, and I want to be able to say that this is their experience, it's not mine. I don't think I know where they need to go. They know where they need to go, which leads to them feeling much more empowered in the healing experience. What I tell my clients is say, when you're done here, I want you to say to yourself, wow, thanks, and look what I did for myself. And maybe they look at me and say, thanks for your help. I never want to be the one in charge of the issue. I want them to manage their issues themselves.
Well, this is a fast night. We've got another half hour to go. We'll continue to take your questions, your phone calls, and see who you might have been in a past life with our guest, Eric Fisher, on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.
Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, and I can't believe it'll be Wednesday already. What a fast week. Our guest will be Joshua Warren. We're going to go ghost hunting, so make sure you're ready and you got your ghost kit, and we're going to go hunting for ghosts with Joshua Warren. That'll be on our next Coast to Coast. Back in a moment. Eric, if people have bad luck now, does that mean they're being punished for something they might have done in a past life?
No, actually, again, I look at it that there is no such thing as bad, truly. I think they bring us opportunities to learn. And sometimes that, you know, we've created our energy by what we put out there. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So it's not that we have bad luck, it's that we're being given the choice to learn. If we choose to play the victim and call it bad luck, we surrender our power to that thing we've called bad luck, and then we don't have to learn from it. So that's why then you see people who have the same thing seem to follow them again and again and again, and they repeat the patterns because they haven't taken the opportunity to shift that energy or to resolve the issue.
So if somebody comes into something saying, oh, this is not going to be good for me, that type. Chances are they're going to fail, aren't they?
Right, and that's part of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's also the energy they put out there. I know if I look at my own life, there are many, many times that, you know, that I took that victim role and surrendered my energy, that I had the situation come out exactly as I thought it would, not because it had to come out that way, but because I believed it was going to come out that way, and therefore that energy created my reality.
To the phones we go. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, my name is Jesse. I'm from California.
Hi, Jesse.
I listen to you on KFI.
Thank you.
I've been listening to your show. It's very, very, they're always interesting. But I've been thinking about myself now. I've never thought about past life. And I've had something that's haunted me my whole life. I'm 60 years old. And I've retired from a very good job. I'm doing very well. But I've been avoiding people's advice. They kept saying, you know, somehow you don't feel like you're right for this kind of work. I was an analyst. And I've never felt good doing anything, really. I could accomplish things, but something was bothering me. I'm more creative. So I took their advice, and 60 days ago, I went ahead and did something more creative that I felt I had a yearning for, and that was the acting business. In the last 60 days, I've done one movie. I have a possibility offers for two movies by the end of the year and a TV series next month.
Good for you.
And I'm really bothered by it. And
what do you think changed that for you, Jesse? What do you think made this happen?
I think it was listening to you folks talk about your inner self, the inner self that maybe I had to get to understand who I was and what I was doing here. And what you've said tonight prompted me in thinking about what's haunted me all this time. I've always had this yearning for this kind of business to be in the forefront. I am a reenactor for 8 years of the 1800s, and everyone's always said, you ought to go into the movies, you look like a good character actor. Well, I'm kind of a modest kind of guy. I'm not the leading man type, but they told me in Hollywood that I'm what they were looking for. And like I said before, in 30 days I was doing my first movie. I just got my paycheck the other day. And now I'm up for a contract for about 8 months on a TV series.
That'd be great. Western.
So I'm haunted and bothered in a way, but could it be true that maybe I've done this before? I feel so good in front of the camera, and I don't want to appear or sound to be a ham. It's just that everything, my prompt was right on the money, everything I did. And
well,
I
you're comfortable. Meet. You're comfortable with this.
Yes, but it's kind of an eerie thing, George.
Well, I think what you might want to look at is the idea of, do you feel like an imposter doing that, you know, and is it possible you may have done something connected to acting in the past? Sure, but it also just might be a gift that you've had that you just never recognized because you might have ruled on the side of humility and humbleness rather than seeing your greatness. And it's okay to be great at what you do, and it's okay to feel proud of that. I think what a lot of our religious culture teaches and our culture in general teaches is to not feel good about feeling proud of ourselves or feeling that we have a belief. So don't sell yourself out. You know, you are powerful and you are great, and you might have just taken 60 years to find your gift. And I say congratulations, and better late than never. Keep it up.
Thank you. You know, I found it difficult when someone asked me when I was looking for another car because I'll be needing it, a new car with better gas mileage. And they said, what do you do for a living? I smiled at them. I didn't know what to say.
I am an actor, and I'm good at it.
I told him I don't work. And he said, how can you afford a car? I said, well, I have money, but I didn't know what to say. And it was like a block. I didn't know how to say it. It took a while, but I did let him
you. Well, you hit this big series. You got to let us know what it is so we can watch you, Jesse. Okay?
Thank you, George. I appreciate it. And keep up the good work.
All right. Likewise. Let's go west of the Rockies now. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
Well, Denver, Colorado. I'm Westminster, a suburb.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I had got the west line, but I'm technically east of the West Rockies.
Well, we won't throw you off.
Okay. I went through a regression therapy about almost 30 years ago, and some interesting things came out. And most of them, I guess, were pretty ordinary, but there was one that was different.
What was that one?
Well, the way I got regressed, first they wanted me to go back in time and see this, you know, calendar going backwards, you know, year-wise, you know, and it just went back and went back and went back, and it was zero, 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 a lot of zeros rolled by, and it ended up like being more than a million years ago, and at first I thought I was just going to be a caveman, but I didn't see that at all. I was like on a ship going through space.
A million years ago?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And go and heading in and landing here as a refugee.
Maybe
and when we're going through all that, I felt a lot of grief and despair among all the people around me.
What did the planet look like about a million years ago?
Oh, I didn't really see it. I mean, it looked like blue skies, and when they landed, you know, and we're just there to get away from the planet we came from because something went terribly wrong. We had to leave. Isn't that unusual?
Well, I think, again, we have to look at the idea that you know, what could have happened to Atlantis or Lemuria or, you know, those other things that...
That was before.
Mm-hmm,
because that
right.
was another life I went to was an much more, not so, I mean, much more up in time.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly, and that's where we have to look at that. If those civilizations we have no signs of, who knows how many potential other civilizations may have possibly existed that we just don't know about.
Do you think that there's a finite number of souls or whatever these things are that create these past life entities? That's why they keep getting reused, basically?
Well, again, in some of the writings, in the automatic writing, actually it's on my website, it says that the all, which is the all the souls that are in it, is a constantly growing, changing entity. So if you look at the idea of a star exists at the moment that star organizes into enough matter to create its own gravity and therefore become a star, we then start to age that star. But when that star explodes and becomes another star, it still creates another star from some of that same energy. So I think we as souls are the same way, that we integrate, we shift, we change, and we go through those patterns that potentially create other souls and maybe souls split off. So I think it's difficult to quantify a fixed number because it's all about growth and learning together as well as separately.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show, and where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, this is Todd from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Todd. Go ahead.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Well, Eric, I've been regressed once, and my experiences are quite different from other people's. I'll just go into the most previous past life, and that was as a praying mantis in Turkey about 555 BC, I think.
Hmm.
Has that ever came up?
I personally have not had anybody recall any other times as any other animals or insects or anything like that. So that would be the first that I've personally heard that. I know some other people feel that they have heard things like that, but not myself.
How do you know you were in Turkey?
I just knew it. It was very strange. I mean, the one before that, the life before that was a lot stranger, believe me. It was
what was that?
What I think it was like probably a Shinto goddess. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
What time period might that have been?
That I had a feeling around 2000 BC.
I do think, Eric, when people have these feelings, these premonitions of what they might have been, there's a pretty good likelihood they probably were.
Yeah, you know, that is definitely possible. You know, and again, I'm also entertaining that idea of a possible wish fulfillment. I always have to keep that scientist hat on, you know, and so I that's, again, why I always let people know, if you felt this, then let that be valuable to you, and what can you learn from it, and how can you take that integration, you know, into how it's going to help you in your life. Whether you're a praying mantis, well, what did you learn? What it was like to, you know, live as an insect and feel insignificant, or do you feel more powerful than the rest of the insect kingdom at that level? You know, what are the things that we can learn from?
I wonder what kind of insect I would have been a long time ago. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing tonight?
We are well, thanks.
I want to tell you about an experience I've been having.
Okay.
Okay. During the afternoon, I like to meditate and just, you know, sit and listen to the silence. Here lately, I've been finding myself back in Japan as a teacher.
Okay.
And what I've been teaching is I've been teaching people to defend themselves. Now, that could explain why I like to teach people how to do different things today.
Sure.
Now, it was suggested to me by your screener that could also be a time travel, and I just wanted to run it by you and see what you and your guests thought about that.
I'm not so sure about the time traveling. Eric?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one. It's kind of one. It kind of need to understand a little bit more about it. But it sounds, you know, again, whether it's an experience or calling on some other aspect of self or energy, would be difficult to really determine exactly what it is. And it'd still, again, be theoretical in basis.
Do you have people, how many people a week, let's say, or a month do you regress?
Again, I do hypnosis with probably ultimately 60% of the people that I work with. Of those who are doing regressions, it might be, you know, if I have, 30 people a week, I'm working pretty regular with those people. I would say of those, maybe 20% in a month might go back. That's going to vary. But it's all, again, it's all non-guided. It's all what they might spontaneously go through. And in a lot of months, it's even less than that. It's just for the people who come to ultimately do a regression, they may ultimately get back to one time. But most of the learning and growing they need to do is in this time. It's in this lifetime. And that's what I really let people know is you came here with opportunities to grow in this time. And that's what I want to make sure we focus on if that's what comes up.
Do you sometimes stumble across people who are very intuitive because of regression?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things, as we find the parts and pieces of them, the fragmented energy that's stuck in time, their gifts come to them. And one of the things that I'm often, that's one of my gifts, is I'm able to see what people's gifts are. So I'm able to understand where people are stuck, what emotions they're stuck in, and what ages they're stuck at. And then I often see, as they find those parts, what the gift's going to be. So I help them to expand on that. I've had people who find healing gifts, who find gifts to see auras, who find that they're able to, you know, kind of talk to dead people kind of thing. And that just evolves. And but we all have gifts, and it's just that they're buried behind our defenses, our fears, our apprehensions, and they're stuck back in time is the way I see it.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, where are you?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio. My name's Abby.
Well, good morning, Abby.
Yep, Buckeyes.
I'm a Wolverine fan, Eric.
Oh, boy. I better hang up right now.
Go ahead, Abby.
Yes, I have a story about I got regressed, actually, about a year ago, and it was a very positive experience for me. About when I turned 17 years old, I started having panic attacks for no reason at all, and like really, really horrible ones where I would just like black out and basically just they were just horrible. And I went to all these different doctors, and no one could figure out what's like the problem, because I've never had anything traumatic in my life. Like, I had a really good childhood, you know, my life's always been great, and no one could figure out what these panic attacks, where they were coming from. So finally, I ended up going to a psychic because I figured, you know, maybe they can see something that no one else, she could see something that no one else could. And she regressed me back to my last past life that I had. And basically what had happened was, it was during the French Revolution, and I was the same exact age as I was during my panic attacks, and I had when I was 17 years old, I had a vision of my village being attacked and burnt to the ground, and all my family members dying. And I got very scared, and I started to try to warn people. And basically what happened was, my family didn't believe me, and they stuck me in a 18th century French mental institution, basically. And I ended up committing suicide because I was afraid that I would go crazy. Yeah. They basically locked me in like a dark dungeon, and you know, with no food, and I ended up taking my own life because I was afraid I'd go crazy. And when I finally realized where the panic came from, the panic attacks totally stopped, just totally went away. Like, when I had started to go into one, I'd realized that it happened in the past, and my worst fears, I had already lived through them. And I'm here now, and I'm fine. So it really, really helped me resolve all that fear that I had. It was a really good experience for me.
Well, you may be fine, but you're still a Buckeye fan.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
Kidding. GCN. Eric, how about this? Want to react? And I'll let you listen, Abby, on your radio. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, that is a great story, and that's a perfect example of how these things do show up sometimes. You'll hit an age that resonates with that age or period of development that seemed to be from the past, and all of a sudden it revivifies that experience. And that is very common, that somebody will have some event, or they'll hit some time, or they'll have something that'll just bring it back up, and they don't have the conscious memory. It's just a very unconscious issue. And then when it is found, it's again, it's that idea of reconnecting with that energy and reintegrating it into the understanding, and then it has the freedom to let go, and the person has the ability to heal.
Well, we've got just about a minute left, Eric, so I wanted to, again, give you an opportunity to talk about the book, The Art of Managing Everyday Conflict, where people can pick it up.
Okay. It can be found, at the websites, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Borders.com, and then you can order it through there. And also may try to order it through your bookstore, but as I said, the easiest place to find it has been through the websites. And again, I would encourage people to go ahead and take a look at my websites, Eric Fisher, ERIKFISHER.com, and ManagingEverydayConflict.com. And I've already had some great emails from some of your guests, even before the show, well-wishers saying, hey, I'm looking forward to hearing you. So you have great guests, George, and I really appreciate it there.
Well, they are the best listeners indeed. Eric, thanks so much. You take care of yourself. Next time you talk to Dr. Weiss, give him my regards as well, will you?
And thank you for having me. I really enjoyed my time here.
My pleasure indeed. That's Eric Fisher, PhD type, and his website again is ericfisher.com, and his book is called The Art of Managing Everyday Conflict. Don't forget that we're going ghost hunting on our next Coast to Coast program. For Steve Carr, Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.